Good morning, St. Luke's. Welcome to Palm Sunday. I'm going to do the announcements quickly. Normally, of course, we'd be meeting in the town square on Main Street and processing to the church with palm branches, and I know we can't do that this morning, but then it's been raining at a good clip all weekend, so maybe there's a little bit of a mixed blessing there. But if you want to run out into your yards really quick and grab some greenery and some branches and bring them back inside, you can hit pause, and we'll be waiting for you right here when you're done. It'll give your neighbors some entertainment for a minute. That's a good thing. As we start down the road for Holy Week, I wanted to remind everybody that we have a lot of Holy Week resources on our website. Go to stlukeswoodland.org and hit that Holy Week at Home button right there. And there are resources there for Stations of the Cross and for some booklets you can download to practice Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday and Easter Vigil at home. Some fantastic information on building home altars. We would love to see your pictures. If you build one of those, please send them to the church. And then I also wanted to say that if anybody is having problems accessing these services on their own, or if you know somebody who doesn't have a computer and they haven't been able to get to these, please let us know. We're building a list and we will get CDs and printed bulletins to those people so that everybody can participate together. So please get that information to the church if you know of anybody who's having that problem. We have Suzanne Guthrie doing our sermon for us this morning, and she'll be with us again next week, again on Easter. And Suzanne has also put together some beautiful meditations daily for every day during Holy Week. So we will post those to the website every day starting tomorrow. So please come back and look for those. They're really lovely, and there's printed material that goes along with those too. So we'll have the links to all of that. Thank you so much to Suzanne for putting that together for us. And those are the announcements. So everybody stay safe and stay well and enjoy the service, and we'll see you soon. Psalm 43, verse 3.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
Almighty and ever-living God, in your tender love for the human race, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon him our nature, and to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may walk in the way of his suffering, and also share in his resurrection, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, look graciously on the people of St. Luke's Church. Be with us in this season of transition. Walk with us and guide us that we may be genuine in our self-reflection, tireless in our commitment, patient in our discernment, loving in our communion, open in our search, and daring in our faith. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. Help us accept change as a gift of your direction for our journey in this transition. Instill in us a vision for our parish, that guided by your Holy Spirit, we will be united in love and joyfully accomplish this mission. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 through 9a.
The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with the word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn back. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty?
Psalm 31. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eyes consumed with sorrow, and also my throat and my belly. For my life is wasted with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength fails me because of affliction, and my bones are consumed. I have become a reproach to all my enemies, and even to my neighbors, a dismay to those of my acquaintance. When they see me in the street, they avoid me. I am forgotten like a dead man, out of mind. I am as useless as a broken pot. For I have heard the whispering of the crowd. Fear is all around. And they put their heads together against me. They plot to take my life. But as for me, I have trusted in you, O Lord. I have said, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face to shine upon your servant, and in your loving kindness, save me.
A reading from Philippians, book 2, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately. This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven! When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, who is this? The crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. The word of the Lord. Dear friends, Suzanne Guthrie here from Citrus Heights. I've supplied for you a few times, and I've sat in your congregation a few times too. I love being with you. And when I'm not, I love knowing you're there. I think about you often and with joy. So here we are, both together and not together at the same time. Even under these circumstances, it is with joy. Because of these circumstances, what I'm going to say is more in the form of an intimate meditation than a sermon, and I'll end with a spiritual exercise that you can do, and I'll also have meditations for the rest of the week that will also offer you a spiritual exercise to do at the end. Because we're all at home, and there's no pulpit or pews and no formality between us. So I hope this feels intimate. And the purpose before us today is to prepare each other for Holy Week. You have been preparing me since Terry asked me to walk through Holy Week with you. You've been on my mind all these weeks and guiding my own Holy Week meditations in a form that I would not have done without you. Isn't it odd how things work like that? Time bending to accommodate all of us, to gather us in. And then these rapidly changing circumstances have made this time together dynamic in unforeseen and new ways. The new way this year is that Holy Week is turned inside out. And this offers you and me an extraordinary opportunity. Let me explain. Holy Week is the busiest time of the Christian year because of its rituals and the sheer volume of stuff it takes to pull off. And also, Something to notice is how sensual our rituals are. For Palm Sunday, alone, think about the gathering of things, the obvious ones, and so much more not obvious. Palms, incense, the asparagus bowl and wand, red fabric and vestments, music, maybe even a donkey, the Passion manuscript, perhaps read in parts as a play, emotions from joy to grief in the space of an hour. And let's look at the rest of Holy Week. Preparations for the Agape Supper from Maundy Thursday, the meal, the sensuous washing of feet, plus bowls and pitchers and fluffy white towels for the foot washing, and making room in the sacristy for the stripping of the altar in semi-darkness, flowers and low lights for the altar of repose, the feeling of poignancy, waiting, silence, perhaps coming up short in our vigil of prayers. And Good Friday, kissing the foot of the large wooden cross, touching the sharp crown of thorns, black fabric, worn booklets for Stations of the Cross, the comforting and challenging solemn collects of the liturgy, and the startling barrenness of the empty sanctuary. And Saturday, rags for cleaning, cloths for polishing, brooms, fair linens, lilies, the scent of silver polish and wood polish, but the eerie silence behind all the busy preparations. Oh, in the blessed altar guild, there they are, and also the silence of God. And then the chill of very early in the morning on Sunday, the smoke and crackling of the new fire, the sea of candles and darkness, the mesmerizing chant, the gleaming ewer by the baptismal font, the splashing of water, white fabric and vestments, lilies, bells erupting for the first Alleluia. And through all of this, we have each other, negotiating the personalities involved, our quirks, blind spots, territorial drama, but also quiet heroism, faithfulness, and observant problem solving. And how many sign-up sheets to pull all of this off? And don't forget the poor donkey of our day, the copy machine. I've served in small parishes my whole ministry, and in a small parish, everyone works very hard to pull off Holy Week for one another. No one can just observe and be a consumer to the magic that we all make for one another. Everyone has something to do, to worry about, to be responsible for, and negotiate the things that go wrong while performing those duties. Children and adults learn better when there's a sensate component. It is why we reenact the steps of Jesus during Holy Week, and it is why the Eucharist is also a beautifully choreographed dance, a sensual feast to experience in our bodies, to move, to see, to hear, to smell, to touch, to taste, to convey a mystery that can't be directly perceived through mere explanation. But this year, Holy Week and Easter will be observed inside out, stripped like the altar on Maundy Thursday night. We walk through this Holy Week without the sensate props that help us, but also tend to overwhelm us. Palm Sunday begins with this prayer. Assist us mercifully with your help, O Lord God of our salvation, that we may enter with joy upon the contemplation of those mighty acts whereby you have given us life and immortality. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I love those words of invitation that mark the beginning of Holy Week. Assist us that we may enter with joy upon the contemplation. I can honestly say I can count on one hand the Holy Weeks I have been able to contemplate the mighty acts whereby God has given us life and immortality that Christians observe during Holy Week and Easter. And in those cases, I've either been all alone or in a monastery. I've been, and I suspect you have been, too busy preparing for and enacting the rituals of Holy Week. But this year, we're asked to go straight into the heart to experience Holy Week. We are offered a spaciousness to pray. We're sequestered in our homes, in anxiety for our fellow humans around the world, as well as for friends and neighbors and family, first responders, every staff person at the clinics and hospitals and makeshift places, spaces for healing, from sanitation workers and reception to medical professionals and public health officials. Maybe right now you're wishing you had learned the name of the checkout woman and the man bagging the groceries. Perhaps you are thinking about unseen warehouse workers, truckers, essential services, all putting themselves on the line for us. And then, those millions without fresh running water or soap, without a source of food, living in overcrowded streets or camps where being sequestered is dangerous under the best of circumstances. And of course, the sick, the dying, the dead. Perhaps by now you know people who are sick or have died, and you cannot even go to them. In this helplessness, where inaction is the most compassionate thing we can do, what can we do? We cannot go out. We must go within. We must go deeper than usual to reach the point where we know we are all one, and where the rituals we have practiced all our lives that have taught us how to love actually now draws out our love. This is what we have been practicing all these years for. We have the opportunity to contemplate those mighty acts which have given us life and immortality. Each day this week, I will offer a meditation followed by reflection questions. You might want to keep a notebook or keep your papers in a file to look over once the whole week is done, and perhaps for insight for future years, in case you ever tend to forget the spaciousness you are invited to enter this year. Here's the first meditation of the week. Let yourself play with it. Let it wash over you. Let waves of insight come over you when you are not directly thinking about it. Be gentle. Don't push. Let the spirit work in you silently and stealthily. So here's the question of today. So first, make a list of some of the things that we use in Holy Week. Fabrics, palms, pitchers, towels and bowls, the cross, the crown of thorns, candles, the altar of repose, paschal candle, fire, bells, bread, wine, that sort of thing. Take one or two and reflect upon the meaning of that thing or the meaning for you of that thing. For example, I'll show you how I would do this. I love yards and yards of draped fabric during Holy Week. Red fabric to represent blood and martyrdom on Palm Sunday, black fabric to represent death and mourning on Good Friday, white fabric to represent purity and new life on Easter. So choose your thing, and then reflect on how the meaning of that item can, without the item itself, be transformative within your heart. For example, I can imagine the red fabric. I can enter a red phase of the week, the anticipation inherent in Palm Sunday, in my own soul, and face the reality of the suffering of Jesus that is to come and the suffering of humanity that is to come. Then I can let myself go through the week and engage with the black phase, not glossing over the fear or the grief that I feel, and just wait it out, just as I have done every year of my adult life in the practice of Holy Week. And then I can await the white phase, the Easter morning joy that will come with new life, something utterly new, creative, and unimaginable. In thinking about just the fabric, I can see how the colors of Holy Week flow one from another and create a mood inside my heart. And also comfort, because I've practiced this year after year, even if I've been too busy draping fabric to think about the meaning of the fabric. Okay, so that's how I would take this little exercise. So think of something, a thing that we use in Holy Week that means something to you. Reflect on how the meaning of that thing, whatever it is, can, without the item itself, be transformative within your heart. And you may not know the answer to that as you begin, so just play, keep playing and playing and playing with it until something comes through. So have fun with your meditation and let the spaciousness of this Holy Week offer you new and deeper joy and the richness of contemplation of those mighty acts which give us life and immortality through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us say together the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We will use Form 5 of the Prayers of the People, found on page 389 of the Book of Common Prayer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love, and be found without fault at the day of your coming, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Have mercy.
For Michael, our presiding bishop. For Megan, our own bishop. For all bishops and other ministers. And for all the holy people of God, We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease and that all may be one, as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Say that again, Mima.
For the peace of the Lord, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in positions of public trust, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, for those who are with us, and for those who are self-quarantined, and for all of us sheltering in place, that we may be delivered from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, friends, and neighbors, that being freed from anxiety, they may live in joy, peace, and health. Remember especially Julie, Sarah, Randy. Who is on your heart this morning? We pray to you, O Lord.
Hear our mercy.
For all who have died in the communion of your church, and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Rejoicing in the fellowship of the ever-blessed Virgin Mary, blessed St. Luke, and all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our life to Christ our God. To you, O Lord our God.
Hear our mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
And our mercy.
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you." Yes. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give to us peace and unity of that heavenly city, where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, now and forever.
Amen.
Prayer for Mission. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We will conclude this morning with the Liturgy of the Passion.
Matthew 27:11-54. Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At the time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they all shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. Then the people as a whole answered, His blood be on us and on our children. So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when he came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put a charge against him, which read, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. In the same way that chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to. For he said, I am God's son. The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, This man is calling for Elijah. At once one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. The earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, Truly, this man was God's son.